Well, good morning to you again, and welcome to our audio service. And our opening hymn sets the theme for us today. It's the hymn, "How Good is the God We Adore." And here it's sung at the memorial service for Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in 1981. And I've chosen this particular version because it illustrates to us afresh that in the midst of grief and loss, there at a memorial service, the people are able to sing and say with the hymn writer, "We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come." Well, thank you again for your contacts. It's always good to hear from you, and had contact with Peter and Kath and Peter Livert, Simon and Bev, Jeanette, John Morris and Graham Morris, Charles and Vicky, Graham and Anne, Martin and Kate. Two little notices, if I may. Some people who, like me, still live in past days and don't do the modern online banking have asked about giving by check. In fact, I think a few people have asked, to be fair, and Graham tells me it's okay now. He can bank checks, so if you slip your check in an envelope and mail to 29 Roundwood, marked for Treasurer Graham's attention, that will be very greatly appreciated. The second thing, I just wanted to mention that I'm thinking about putting a monthly Bible study on this audio page. Not sure how it will work or if it will work. Our Wednesday Bible studies at church are based around a passage of scripture and discussion. So I will include some questions for all of us to think about. George will put this Bible study on our webpage on the last Sunday of each month. So on the last Sunday there will be two files: our usual service that we listen to at 11 o'clock, and then a second marked Bible study which you can use at any time during the month. Well, okay. Going to turn to our Bibles now, if you've got your Bible. We're going to read Job chapter 2, and Charles and Vicky are going to read for us.
This morning's reading is taken from Job chapter 2. The background to this is that Satan has already taken his livelihood, his children, and his house from him.
On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face."
The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all his troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him, because they saw how great his suffering was. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Charles and Vicky, for that reading. And last time, we thought about this question that the book of Job poses for us. Does God promise to keep every Christian safe and to prosper them? Well, of course, our God is a very generous God and a loving and caring God. But in that first chapter, we saw that God's people, and even the best of God's people, are not immune from suffering and pain and from loss and heartache. Nowhere does God ever promise the trouble-free, guaranteed, prosperous life taught and believed by so many today. And in chapter 2 we are given again a glimpse of heaven and what's going on behind the scenes of Job's life here on earth. And we notice that God is saying that Job is a very wonderful example of a godly man, of a man of faith. Look at what God says in verse 3. He says, "There is no reason for God to punish Job." No reason at all. And Satan's no answer for this. He knows there's no reason. And so now he moves on with a new accusation. And this time his focus is upon illness and disease. Skin for skin, as our translation puts it. In other words, Satan implies that Job will accept God touching other skins, his animals, his servants, even his children, as long as Job himself is kept safe. Satan's accusation is that Job is a totally self-obsessed man. Life for Job boils down to making sure that number one is okay. And so Satan says to God, the moment you touch and take Job's health, bring illness on him, he'll curse you. And once again, we must recall what the big message of this book is. It's that God is worth loving and worth living for and worshipping and obeying for himself. Even if he doesn't bless me with life's gifts, even if he doesn't answer my prayer, I'll still love him. I'll still follow him. And when a person follows God like that, God gets the glory. And so now, with God's permission, Satan strikes Job's body, bringing terrible illness and painful disease. Verse 7, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Job's now completely alone and in awful agony. Everything's gone. There's nothing left of his former wonderful life. He's hit rock bottom. And at this point, we will find out if Job really loves and worships and lives for God. Or is he the kind of, what we could say is the kind of Christian who is only in it for what he can get out of it. Only a believer for as long as God is looking after him, making sure that everything's okay for him. But before we actually hear from Job with his answer, we hear from Job's wife. Verse 9. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. It's interesting to note that Job's wife could see the evidence in Job's life that her husband was still holding on to his God. That Job was living in such a way that you could see that he trusted God. Even when everything had gone, Job believed that he still had God. And so his wife says, I can't believe that after the way your God has treated you, you've lost everything. You still hold on to him and still trust him. Now, of course, we must remember that Job's wife has suffered this terrible pain and loss too. So we mustn't be too quick to criticise her. However, she does iterate the attitude that many people have regarding God. It's the attitude that we see all around us today. Surely the only reason to be religious, to go to church, surely the only reason to try to be good is to get in God's good books, to win those brownie points, so that in this life I'll get all that I want, and then there'll be a prize for me at the end. And so Job's wife says to him, look at this, you're getting nothing, nothing, so you better just curse God. And of course that's exactly what Satan wants everyone to do. That's what Satan will be working into the minds of all unbelievers during this pandemic. It can't be a God if he would allow such an awful worldwide calamity as this. And particularly when you keep going on about the fact that he's a loving God. A God that could allow a virus like this to spread. Well, it's not worth bothering with. Curse him. Verse 10, Job's response to all of that, he replies, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. Job's response is to say that it's a very foolish thing to give up on God just because he's taken away some of the things that he gave me in the first place. And so the big question for Job, for his wife, and also for us, is this. Is God himself our treasure? Or do we just treasure his gifts? Do we love our Father, our Saviour? Or do we just love what he gives or what he does for us? And the book of Job asks each one of us this pertinent question. Is God enough for us? Or is it only what we get that makes him worth following? And so Job's question of verse 10 speaks during this painful, costly time, this heartbreaking virus. The question comes, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Well, of course, it's very easy to accept the good. We love that. But God wants to know if you will accept trouble. Will you accept pain and loss from the same hand that blessed you and still trust him and still love him and still obey him and live for him? Because when a true Christian is seen to do that, it stands out. It's so different, and God gets the glory. And so to close this now, let me bring just a couple of points of application. Because Job here is shown to us as a model believer. He shows us what being wise in life looks like. And that's the first lesson that we must see and that we must take up for ourselves. Second thing is that in Job's commitment and perseverance, he's pointing ahead to that perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Job is very much like the first man, Adam, because like Adam, he lives with God's blessing. Wonderful blessing. And then he's tempted by Satan to turn from God. And like Adam, this temptation to do that comes through his wife. But unlike Adam, Job does not sin, pointing us on to the second Adam, the sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to undo the curse by taking the wrath of God against sin for us. Jesus, the truly innocent sufferer. Job goes from being the richest man to the very poorest. And Jesus, the one who gave up the majesty, the splendor, and the glory of heaven to come down for us, down, down to the humiliation of the cross. And as we see Job's story, pointing us on to the one who loved me and gave himself for me, so that for the Christian there's now no condemnation, that Satan's accusations are defeated because Christ has paid the price and it's paid fully forever. And as we see that, as we see the truth of that, it enables the Christian to do what the book of Job is calling us to do, to love God, to trust God, to worship God for who God is. So, Christian believer, don't be sucked into the seemingly attractive false teaching. We have to expect suffering. Trials and troubles, puzzles will come. Things that we can't understand. And the question from Job comes to us. Where is my security to be found? You know, the best Christian testimonies are not the kind where you hear someone say, well, I was a drug addict and God delivered me, and I was seriously ill and God healed me. Well, those are wonderful, of course. But the very best testimonies are the ones that recount that I'm still in trouble. I'm still very poorly. I still each day carry a broken heart. But God is great. And God is so good to me. And I love him and I worship him. What brings glory to God is to see his people who are in the midst of trouble, who are in the midst of pain, still trusting him, still worshipping him, still honouring him, still exalting him and living for him. And so may that be you, and may it be me. Amen. And so now our prayer. Father God, we ask that you will help us to see just how good you are, even when life's tough, and to help us to place our trust in you in times of trouble, as well as in those times of blessing. Amen. Well, last week, three people got the answer to the question, what did the brothers say to Joseph when he revealed who he was when they were there, and he said, I am Joseph. And the answer, of course, is they said nothing. They were so taken aback, the Bible tells us, that they couldn't speak. Well, this week my question is regarding the story of Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? And God sent Jonah to bring a message of judgment on the people of Nineveh because of their great sin. And you remember that eventually, as Jonah went and preached to them, that Nineveh repented and God held back his judgment. And so my question is, which Old Testament book is given over to telling us what happened to Nineveh after that? What happened to Nineveh next? So I'm looking for the name of an Old Testament book. And so now our closing hymn. It's the hymn that echoes what we've been remembering, that the price for the guilt of our sin is fully paid for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He took our sicknesses as if his own. by.